But before we begin to pray, let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. In this particular psalm, the psalmist is beseeching God to hear his prayer. And now, somehow we think that if we pray, God is duty-bound to hear us. He's not. And reading this psalm makes me wonder how many times I've expressed a prayer, uttered a prayer, and instead of it being something of worship, it was something that profaned the name of God. Now, the reason he prays this prayer is because God has long since stopped listening to Israel. God is not only not answering their prayers, he's not listening to them. God has the nation under judgment. And we can go to Jeremiah and Isaiah. Well, we can go back as far as Deuteronomy. And then, of course, Joshua, Judges, 1st, 2nd Samuel, all the way. They were a hard-hearted and stiff-necked people. And yet, of all the people on the face of the earth, no people has been blessed like Old Covenant Israel. And that reminds me of what the Lord said, to whom much is given from them, much is required. But I think we can safely say this afternoon that second to Old Covenant Israel, the United States of America has been blessed more than any other country in the history of man. In fact, if you'll just be real honest and not be afraid of being called a dispensationalist, you can say that the history of the United States parallels that of the covenant people of the Old Testament. I mean, it's amazing. And if God was ever going to go to the Gentiles, he certainly has come to us. And probably second only to Old Covenant Israel, we owe God more than we can even begin to understand. And we're in a day right now where the judgment of God is upon us. If you don't believe that the United States of America is not under the judgment of God, then you don't understand anything about the Bible at all. I mean, how can we count the ways that identify God's judgment upon us? Has he not turned us over to our enemies? Our borders are weak. Our morality is totally ungodly. Men are lazy. And yet we're rich. And we're well fed. And we say with the old rich man there in Luke, so you have many barns full. Now, you take your ease. Be at rest. Enjoy yourself. And that's all we're about as this country. Many of the things we talked about around the table a while ago have a lot to do with this. Not that they're inherently evil, but we remember a lot of them because they're so pleasure-filled. You get a kick out of them and laugh about them. But really, if that's all we've got out of all that God has done, how hot is hell going to be for us? So, I think we can take a direct application from everything that's said in this psalm to ourselves. Not only in the way of God's judgment, but also in the way of God's mercy, because this psalm is here to lead us to do something. And that something is well-pleasing to God. It can only be done by His grace, but it's granted to us in His mercy. And as we pray today, I'm telling you, I don't know of anything. If I died today, if I didn't make it home, let's pray that Tracy will make it home. But if I didn't make it home today, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Hope it wouldn't bother her either. She probably wouldn't. Well, yeah, I think I might break her heart a little bit. But, yeah. That's right. I mean, why be away from heaven one more day? What's Barack Obama and all of his ilk got that I want? What does the pervert, the deviant, and the rich man and the fool have that I want? I don't want any of it. What I want is to see things as God sees them. Because if I did, I wouldn't have a worry in the world. If I saw things exactly as God sees them, I could see the end from the beginning, couldn't I? And we know how it's going to end. But our concerns come from the fact that this world is important to us. Now, if it were important to us only as a means, that'd be fine. But that's not why it's important to us. It's important to us as an end. And isn't that foolish? How foolish is that when you know that the world is passing away and the things thereof? And only those who do the will of God will abide forever. Now, in that light, the psalmist says this, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you that lead Joseph like a flock." Now, what did we just get through singing? Lead us like a shepherd, right? And that it's well with our souls. Thou that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Now, this psalm has three major parts. The first one is found in the first three verses. The second in verse 4 through verse 7. And then the third and the longest is verse 8 through 19. And each part is separated by a wonderful refrain. Lead us like a shepherd. Before Ephraim, he says, and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your strength. And come and do what? Save us. Who's going to save us out of this mess? Now, maybe because I'm older and wiser, but I don't think I've lived in my short 62 years in any other time when there's been more confusion and less leadership, at least in those things that are good and right, than what we've got right now. You're telling me that you're going to support perverts getting married and the Boy Scouts bringing the perverts back in? And we're going to have a guy who delivers these babies in an abortion mill and they're alive and he cuts them, does their spine off with a pair of scissors and just kills them and keeps their feet as trophies? And we let this go on. And then we've got a man who is, in summary fashion, seeking to dismantle the whole of the United States of America right before our eyes. And not only was he elected once, but he was elected twice to the highest office of the land. Tell me that we're not going to hell as quick as we can get there. And who's going to deliver us? Who's going to deliver us from the vain philosophies that we have? And the false structures of righteousness and the false standards of truth and purity? Who's going to deliver us from this political correction and all correctness and all this garbage? It just goes on. If it ain't one thing, it's a dozen. And they come to you like water off of Niagara Falls, falling from the Niagara River down to the basin of that great fall. And just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. Well, we can look at these things in two ways. We can either look at them as signs of absolute despair and we've come to the point of no return, or we can use them as the motivation necessary to get us on our face before God and seek Him. Because at least right now, he still can be found. He says in verse 3, here's the first request. Besides, stir up your strength and come and save us. He says, turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Save us with your strength, and if you'll just look upon us again and draw near to us. See, wherever God's face is, that's where His presence is. Now, we're talking about the Shekinah glory of God. We're talking about His manifest felt presence. We're talking about really pouring His Spirit out upon us for the sake of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not all despair. We can be saved. We may not be saved, but we can be saved. God may not save us this time. This may be the last one. And if it is, that's fine. But if it's not, we need to be in prayer about this matter. If God does do this, let it be in spite of the prayers of His people, not because they didn't pray at all. Turn us again. In the New King James, it says, restore us again. I don't really like that. I looked it up in the Hebrew dictionary. It means turn, not restore. Don't give us everything that's brought our lust about and everything that we've enjoyed and all that stuff. He's not praying for that. He wants to be turned. Turned from where? Turned from the direction of death on which they are going and turned back to God where life dwells exclusively. Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine. Wherever the light of God is, salvation will occur. And we shall be saved. So that's the first part. That's the introduction. But he gets right down to his request real quick. And then he goes on again, confessing the sins of the people. O Lord God of hosts, verse 4, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? Do you believe God gets angry? Do you believe He gets angry at people? Do you believe He gets angry at praying people? He sure does. And he doesn't say he's angry at the people. He's angry at the prayer of his own people. How long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? I've been to protracted prayer meetings where we'd pray for 2 days straight. Put it on the calendar, show up, and go pray for 2 days straight. And we'd leave that place thinking, surely, man, oh, God's obligated to us now. Oh, we wouldn't have ever said that. I'd have never said that. I wonder how many of those prayer meetings just made him even that much more angry. All this stuff going on in the world today, we've got more people in church today than we've ever had. Believe it or not. As bad as this is. And what that's doing, though, if they're preaching a false gospel, a false message about a false God, might as well be up there calling Baal, fire down from Baal on those old altars. And cutting themselves and slashing themselves and bleeding all over the ground. And old Baal's where? I mean, Elijah got pretty graphic here. He said, where is he? He must be off out behind the bushes there, relieving himself. That's pretty graphic. Those old boys didn't fool around. But, you know, we've got to be polite and kind because we don't want to offend anybody. I'll offend your socks off if it makes a difference in your soul. Couldn't care less about how you feel. I talk to these kids a lot of times. We talk and we kid and all this kind of stuff. And one day one of them came up to my desk and said, Mr., the best teacher I've ever had. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I've written you up every week for the last 6 months. Yeah, but you know what? I learned something in here. And I said, well, that's a miracle to me, boy, because I didn't think you could learn anything. Oh, no, I don't cut them much slack. I love them, but I don't cut them much slack. special ed teacher or counselor. I went down there. They give me a boatload of these kids. I said, you know, I'm not complaining. I just want to know why you give me all these special ed kids, behavioral problems and all that stuff. Well, it's because you do so well with them. And I said, well, what if I quit doing so well with them? No, you can't offend people if you'll tell them the truth and you speak it to their heart. You don't have to be mean or gruff. Dear ones, let me say this to you. Not every prayer you've prayed or I've prayed or any of us have prayed has been pleasing unto the Lord. He didn't say, why are you angry with the way we worship? Or why are you angry because we go to the high places and the groves that were mentioned this morning? He says, prayer. And we're about to pray, aren't we? And then he explains further, verse 5. You feed them with the bread of tears. And you give them tears to drink in great measure. You think God doesn't bring sorrow and brokenness? If God's after you, He'll grind you into the dirt with a heartache of life, if that's what He intends to use to get you out of hell into heaven. You will eat the bread of tears. Everything will be hard. And you will drink tears in great measure. Sorrow will abound and abound and abound. It won't get any better. And for your sake, it better not. Things were not good during this time. Verse 6, you make us a strife under our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. And you know, even the liberal media right now is waking up to the disdain that the rest of the world has for Barack Obama. It's amazing. We can't even call what happened Tuesday, 2 weeks ago, coming. Or Monday, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago from tomorrow. We can't even call it Islamic terrorism. Well, we knew it was a bunch of old white conservatives that did that. What is this? And the American people put up with this. You know why? Because they're just like the guy talking like that. That's why. He didn't get in office. Now, he may have been a cheat. And he is a cheat and a liar. And there's nothing good about him at all. And hell will be probably too good for the fellow. But let me say this to you. He didn't get in office without people voting for him. And in spite of everything we knew, he was elected again. And he beat Romney by more votes than he beat McCain. There's a barometer for you right there. What kind of people are we? We're the kind of people that vote for Barack Obama to be our president. That's the kind of people we are. And this, exactly. I use him only for an illustration, though. He is typical, is he not? We are a strife to all the people of the world who know us. We got this poser over there in North Korea threatening us with nuclear weapons. We ought to go over there and scare him to death. We ought to send him a little message that if you open your little Korean mouth one more time, you will force us to send you to eternity. Oh, really? He's not even a gnat on an elephant's ear. But we are so ungodly. I've got kids that quake in my classroom. They'll read stuff
And they'll say, "Mr. Burris, do you think they're going to fire that missile?" And I said, "I hope so, so you'll get to see it." "Oh, you think they will?" I said, "If they could, they'd have already done it. I don't think there's anything to worry about. But if it happens, it happens. Are you ready?" That's the main question. It's not whether they will or not. It's, are you ready? Are you ready to leave this earth?
And then he prays the prayer again. Turn us again, verse 7. "O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine." And what's the refrain? "When God shines his face, we shall be saved." Now, do you get the gist of what he's doing here now? He's really just saying, "God, come and have your way with us. We cast ourselves upon your mercy. We are sinful. Please be gracious and forgive us for your sake. And come and shine on us. And whatever you do, it's right." Now, I wonder how many of us in this room really believe that. What if he took everything away from you? And you were like Job, on the hash heap of despair and misery, your body racked with pain, your children all gone, your possessions all gone, people thinking that you're a wicked man because it's happened to you. They come and shame you with their presence. How would you get along with that? Could you say with him, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away"? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Already been said. Eli says, "Let the Lord do whatever he wants to do." What was God going to do? He's fixing to kill three of them. Right there before his eyes. His own children. Going to kill them right there. Those wicked priests. And guess what happened to Eli that day? When they were dead, he fell over backwards and he's dead. But before that happened, he said, "Let the Lord do what's right to him." Can we say that? Do we believe that salvation is of the Lord and we want to see it so badly when we say, "Let your face shine upon us," that we are more than willing for the reputation of God once again to be exalted high and lifted above all nations? That might have been a problem with the prayers of the people, the reason God was angry with them. They kept saying, "Lord, save us, save us, save us." But they left out God and His glory and His matter, the matter of His own name. Then the third part here. He rehearses the history of Israel and God's goodness to them when he says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
"Thou preparedest room before it and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." Does that sound familiar? How about a little manifest destiny right there? "The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they that pass by do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it." Why is this happening? Well, because we've left God. That's why it's happening. Same reason it happened to Israel is the same reason it happened to us. And history just repeats that, doesn't it? What about that empire? In the early days of the modern missionary movement, if it wasn't for Great Britain, we wouldn't have had any missionaries. And then they left God. And God sort of liked me. When I was a boy, if somebody didn't like me, I didn't really take it personal. I just found somebody else. Huh? I mean, it's their choice. I mean, they can like me or not like me. And I exercise the same choice. And if you didn't want me around, all I had to do is tell me. I didn't have to be there. There's the rest of God's green earth. Well, when Israel, in their unrepentant, backslidden condition, told God they didn't want him anymore, he left. Have we done that? God has been expelled from our schools. God has been expelled from our public discourse. God has been expelled from our government. And all of it is going to hell in a handbasket. God is not wanting our families. What's happening to our families? God's not wanting the hearts of our children. What's happening to our children? The first way to get God's wanting. You don't want him, he's gone. What happened in the day of Ezekiel? What did Ezekiel see? He saw the Spirit of God get up out of Jerusalem, walk out the gate. And above it wrote what? Ichabod. The Lord has departed. But then there's another thing that says, all who desire to come to me may. Well, I hope we're at that point. I hope we want God. And if we do, it's because why? The God we want drew us to himself. That's called grace. So the psalmist goes on. Return, he says in verse 14. We beseech you, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. It ain't over till it's over. There's always hope. Until the end of time. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou mayest strong for thyself, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your counsel. I'm sorry, your countenance. Now God's light can either be unto salvation or damnation. And right here, most of these people are being rebuked by his countenance. All God's got to do is show up. That's enough. Yeah, exactly. Verse 17, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou hast made strong for yourself. Who's he talking about right there? Please exalt him. Please have him preached again. Please destroy the synagogues of Satan that populate our land. Get him out of the way. So that those who are poor in spirit might have the truth preached to them. Verse 18 says, if you do all this, so will not we go back from thee. In other words, we're not going to leave you. If you don't leave us, we won't leave you. See, it's all about God, isn't it? So will not we go back from you. Quicken us. And we will call upon your name. We can't even call upon your name if you don't quicken us. And then he ends again. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. Now folks, 3, 7, and 19 ought to be our hope right now. 18 ain't bad, is it? Quicken us. Some translations translate that word revive us. Revive us. Now when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, what did God do? He quickened us, right? Yeah. Same thing. Same thing. Revive us. Revive us. Revive us again that we might what?
Praise
thy name. And he promises in Psalm 57 to do that, to revive us. Promises the same thing in Hosea, to revive us. Promises the same thing in Habakkuk, to revive us. And then in Habakkuk he says, revive us and in judgment do what?
Remember? Mercy.
Well, we're in judgment right now, dear ones. Don't play with these mind games. May God give us the mind of this psalmist right here, who knew the signs of the times. We're under judgment. It ain't good. Our little grandchildren that are lost and got these iPods stuck plumb to their brains and video games pouring out their soul, they're on their way to hell. Every one of them. And their mothers and daddies that let them sit there and waste away their lives, they're no better off. Things are not good. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's what I want. I want that more than anything else in the world. Now, what if God doesn't do it? Here's what's going to happen if God doesn't do it. The generation we live in right now will go to hell. Y'all understand that? Hell. They will spend eternity in the fiery torments of hell among the population of the unjust and the ungodly. Those who have been the enemies of God from the beginning of time to its end. And they will be there forever and ever. The fire and the smoke of their torment will arise forever and forever. You and I know people right now that are in hell. No purgatory, none of that stuff. When you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Come thou, blessed of my Father, and enter into the inheritance prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Depart from me, you cursed, into outer darkness, which has been prepared for you from before the beginning of the world. I tell you, when you speak in those terms, the matters of the United States of America pale, don't they? Who cares? Really? When you're talking about heaven and hell issues, who cares? Our prayer has to be, turn us again, O God. Cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's the prayer. God help us pray. And you men lead us, please.
I thought we had surely we may have been barbarous from a great ignorance in our land. People do not know God. They just think they know who God is. Right. Father, we know that You are the Lord of all the universe, and nothing happens after You sight. We know heaven above that You long to be saved without this life that You're in. Give me a knowledge. Give them understanding. Give us, Lord, wisdom. That we might understand these things, that we would not be caught unaware. That we might know what is coming upon this land. Right. Lord, we pray that You would turn us once again. Amen. That we might enjoy those things that You have said before us. Amen. Lord, that we might treasure with all our heart. We might once again be revived. Lord, come out of this dead to set our land. Lord, we might convict it up once again and praise up over the name. Lord. Lord, may we also consider your holiness once again.
Amen.
We must be holy if we enter into the holy place where the Lord is and commune there with him and he protects that table that's been set before us. We ask now, Lord, that you continue to give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, that we might once again praise thy name.
Amen.
These things we ask in thy name and for thy sake.
Amen. Oh, Father, how do you pray? How can you pray? Except your Spirit,
Amen.
Oh, Father, our prayers are so shallow and so out of the way.
Amen.
We can't express, there are words to express what we consider, what we speak, they want. Except the Lord to say, save us.
Amen.
Lord, we don't really know what is involved in that salvation, except that we do know, Lord, that is to be conformed to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
How to get there? As the apostle said, so we say, the will is a person, but how we perform that meant to do it. But that's why we come to be in the name of Jesus. We do come, not without name, not without satisfying name. We look there for the things that all God has to do. That because of Him, we can come justified and sanctified.
Amen.
In spirit. Oh, Father, if we are justified in thy sight and sanctified by the Holy Ghost, then how much will our lives be conformed unto that which is your image?
Mm-hmm.
And that revealed to us in Christ and in a person is Jesus is righteousness and goodness.
Amen.
As well as all of other things. Lord, Father, we do come to you. We do ask you to revive us again.
Amen.
Indeed, that we might praise thy name. Lord, Father, we do believe. We believe because you have said it and we cannot lie. And that is our confidence in Jesus.
Amen.
Hope and joy. That you cannot lie. You have told us that you would perfect your church, that you would present your church unto you a holy church, one that is without limits, one that is without spot. Oh Lord, the only thing that we don't know is who is going to constitute that
church,
and what he is going to pay more to purify us.
Mm-hmm.
We do trust that we have believed in Christ, and we do trust that we have committed our souls, our spirits, even our bodies, to you through the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, Lord Father, we simply place ourselves in your hands and Lord, confess that we know nothing outside of Jesus Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask you, Lord, that you will perfect that which concerns your glory in us.
Amen.
Lord, we know that the whole world lies completely. And we, oh God, it troubles us. It it causes us to sorrow in our hearts, especially as we do see our families, our loved ones, so careless over them. And we weep over them, we mourn over them, we sorrow over them. And yet, oh God, our Father, our Lord and Savior Christ, there's nothing that we can do,
amen,
except to turn to our God. And Lord, we must realize that if we are to help them, we must pray to you, Lord,
amen.
Mm-hmm. Lord, it does no good for us to speak of thee and to speak of your word, to speak of your love, to speak of your holiness, to speak of your love, to speak, Lord God, with all of those attributes and characteristics that are so becoming, that's so good for us to speak of those things, except they're seen in us as you have changed us and changed us and caused us to reflect that glory which is your glory in Jesus. We ask your own Lord to determine us.
Amen.
because you grew up in Christ. Because you live in Christ. And because you live in
Christ. Amen.
The Lord God hears. We will pray.
Amen.
Father, as we continue this week, we ask you, Father, we thank you, Father, for that word. For the words that we've even heard read today. First, for the preaching service this morning, and for this reading of this song. Father, we do plead with you that we might hear.
Amen.
Father, we cannot hear unless you open our ears and open our hearts. So we plead for your mercy, Father, that you might open those ears, that we might take thy word and make it part of our life.
Amen.
And that, Father, that this life will be a life committed unto you. Father, we need to hear from you. Indeed, that we might turn closer to you, turn away from this world. Turn away from the ungodliness and wretchedness of this life.
Amen.
But Father, we plead that we might glorify Father, just be with these persons here. We pray that their Father, if there's one person here that does not know you, that there's anything, Father, we plead with you to open up our hearts and our minds. Father, if it's me, I ask you to open up my mind and my heart. Father, I plead that indeed I might repent of the ungodliness in my life. And Father, we pray for each person here that's ungodliness and each person's life here that they might flee from you. That they might forget about it. And that their life and thoughts might be centered totally, completely, around the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Continue with us, even this very week. And we pray this in your name, sir.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we give you praise for you. We have the Word. Therefore, we do know that there is coming a last time today. The Word is best prior to the flood. He was talking about the second coming of May, our Lord. Lord, you destroy the world. Hold it forward with all the sin. Destroy specifics because of sin. You said you took your points after the end of the flood. There's many other examples of people who lost their lives because they were saved. Father, the Word of God. It's no difference there. Sin is an issue, and sin is not an issue. Father, the Word of God, forgive
me. Yes, Father. Amen.
Because of the Son of your goodness, the mercy of grace, having your word, your son, and still, and Lord, we have seen you over. Lord, I pray that you will have pity on us.
Amen.
Your spirit will turn us over. Lord, will be thoughtful and will desire us. That our hearts will be set on you.
Yes, sir.
That our desire would be to bring glory to you and
yes.
Praise you and truly
yes.
Love you.
Amen.
Father, as praise was said in the Lord, I fear the times that have like a
that's all.
So, but Father, you're very faithful. Love your people. You desire and delight, I believe, to show yourself strong and
yeah. Yeah.
Dear Father, as we come to the end of this very brief session of prayer, we pray that you do for us what the psalmist pray. First of all, Lord, that you would give ear to the prayers of your people. That you would stir us up with your strength.
Amen.
And you'd stir up your own strength for your own purposes to come and save us. We ask you, Lord, turn us again and cause your face to shine on us. And in that, Lord, we know that we'll be saved. We pray that you'd forgive us for praying amiss. And that you would no longer be angry with us as we call upon your name. We pray that we would ask you for the things that you promised to give us. Lord, we pray that you would exchange the bread of tears and the tears to drink in great measure for the joy of your spirit and the bread of life. We pray, Father, that you would simply turn us again. That you, O Lord, God of hosts, would cause your face to shine. And that you would save us. We pray, Father, that you would return. And that you'd look upon us from heaven. And visit us with your righteousness and your holiness and with your strength. We pray that you would take care of us, those people that you've made to be your very own. Now the eternal strength of your salvation and your holiness. We pray, Father, that you would deal with our enemies and all those who are gainsayers and all those who are hypocrites and all those who are mockers of your name and your ways, those who despise even the very thought of you. The Lord, you'd either redeem them or remove them. Lord, we pray for the sake of our children, our grandchildren. And Lord, we ask that you'd move back the power of the evil one, who said that when the evil one comes in like a flood, that you'd raise up a standard. And we beg you to do it. Oh Lord, we pray. Keep us from going away from you, from turning back from you. Lord, quicken us. And then only can we call upon your name in the way that is well pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask once again, turn us again, O Lord. O Lord, God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Excellent exhortation. This afternoon, I sometimes wonder at the mercy that and grace and goodness that God has bestowed upon this little group of people. I hope we realize what a wonderful thing it is that God has opened up His Word the way He has to us. Oh, let us not despise it, but let us be joyful in it. And to be joyful in it means simply to be obedient to it. How can you be joyful in anything that you're not obedient unto? Thank you, Brother Dale. Thank God for His Word. And what a wonderful thing it is. There is a friend, right? A brother is born for adversity, but there is a friend that sticketh any even closer than a brother. Now, I think I know something about what that means. I have a brother that is very, very dear and close. And I don't know how many times over the years that I've called upon him, and he's always there. I can never have ever asked anything that he wasn't there. But to think that there is one that's even closer than that. What a wonderful thing it is to have Jesus as our Savior, to have Jesus as a friend.